A smart sports bettor knows where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap, America's marketplace, to buy and sell sportsbook tickets. PropSwap customers always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets.
B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
2 hours until the NFL trade deadline.
Tick-tock, but tell me Bill's going to f***ing do something today. Come on!
There it is, T-minus 2 hours, actually 1 hour 58 minutes until the NFL trade deadline. And so we got you covered here on Felger and Maz on Tuesday, November 3rd. Maz and I from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Big boy, Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal will be joining us via Zoom. How you doing, Anthony?
Come on, Bedard. 2 hours to go.
Tell us they're doing something, Bedard.
Well, why don't we start with that, since we started with that. Greg, what do you think we're going to see today?
If I had to be a betting man, I would say probably nothing. I think that it all depends on how much the Patriots are driving a hard bargain on Gilmore. I think the reports that we've heard, Diana Russini said a first and a player. I think that was a beginning of the day starting point. Is that the end price tag on Gilmore? I doubt it. I'd be willing, if they got a player, like a functional linebacker, I'd be willing to do it for a second. I just want to move on from Gilmore and the contract headache that he has been, and he certainly will be this offseason.
Okay, do you buy into the, you know, season's loss, so be sellers, punt for the future, build assets? I mean, are you looking that, you know, in that sort of way? Or are you just looking at, sort of a vacuum, that it's time for Gilmore and now is an opportunity to do it?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm listening on everybody, and I want to get some return. I'm not just selling the farm because, you know, while it doesn't look good for the Patriots right now, especially in the AFC East, I'm not impressed with the Bills. I don't have a lot of confidence in them, especially after apparently Sean McDermott might take a vacation now that he finally beat the Patriots and just rest on his laurels. I don't know what kind of crap that was. But I'm somewhat encouraged by the Patriots. I will say that I watched the defensive film first, and then I watched the offensive film, and I'm in a much better mood now that I've watched the offense because I feel much better about the offense, and I don't feel like all hope is lost. And I still think, because look, before the season, I predicted the Patriots to get off to a 4-6 start. They will get to, 3-5? They will probably be 3-6. They could get to 4, and then they have, I think, the Texans. They could be 4-6, and I had them winning their last 6 games. And I still think that's in the realm of possibility, but they, from what I saw, I was very encouraged by what I saw out of the offense in the second half and Cam Newton, and I don't think all hope is lost.
Okay, so you're not just selling to sell. You're not doing that thing. You're still trying to win games this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I think that Gilmore, especially after what we saw this weekend with J.C. Jackson playing as the top cornerback against Stephon Diggs, and Diggs really only got that one catch and run pass. That was about all he really did against J.C. Jackson on Sunday. I'm listening because I think, like I said, I think he's going to be a humongous pain in the rear end, and he has been already. And I want to be rid of that, and I want to get something, and I don't want to have to deal with that because I have other things that I want to do, other things that need to be addressed on this team. But I am listening on like Joe Tooney, because if the Patriots are movers and shakers in the offseason, which we think they will be, and I think it's only enforced by Belichick's sort of media campaign here that he's making this out as a one-year thing. So if you're doing that, you better sure as hell do something in the offseason. If you add pieces in free agency, whatever Tooney might get, it's going to be offset. So you're not going to get anything for Tooney. So why not deal him now?
Greg, do you think there's any chance that Bill will keep Gilmore just to spite him
and then, you know, maybe not even play him a ton the rest of the way? Do you think there's any chance of that, and how do you feel about that?
Sure, I don't rule anything out in terms of that, Mass, but I doubt it. I just don't see the upside. And plus, yes, Bill can play hardball as much as anybody, and I think Gilmore's slated to make about $7 million next year because they borrowed against that to give him his little tantrum bonus this year. But I just don't see the upside because, look, Stephon Gilmore is not going to play next year for that contract. He's not. He realizes he's aging. He pressed the issue on the contract extension this offseason because he's in the window right now where he has to get his money now or he's never going to get it. And so if the Patriots don't pay him in the offseason, he's going to do all sorts of shenanigans. You know, we already saw it. He already took, you know, a vacation or left during the middle of training camp during COVID when they barely had any practices on the field. And so what do you think he's going to do next year? I mean, he's going to, oh, my hamstring hurts, this and that. He's going to do a bunch of stuff. So just be, I'm not keeping that on the roster. It has too much of an effect on the rest of the team.
Okay. You folks want to weigh in on the trade deadline. What do you want them to do? What do you want them to not do, et cetera? As soon as we wipe down the phones, they'll be open for you at 617-779-0985. You can weigh in on that. Now I want to get to this, Greg. I'll set it up with a true or false, and we'll fix your mic in the break, okay? You're coming a little hot, but we'll just gut through it here. Okay. So true or false. All right, you ready?
Yep.
The Patriots loaded up financially to win championships the last couple of years, and that's why they're in trouble this year. True or false?
False.
Explain. I mean, why?
Look, they tried to augment the roster like they always do, especially offensively. They look and see what they have in training camp or in the early part of the season, and then they look to fill holes. They always had flexibility because not only did we think it, it was true. The Patriots were ahead of the game and were great at player valuation, all that stuff. And so they did basically business as business is done. But the problem is that the well from the draft dried up and all that cheap labor that is controllable, it wasn't there to offset the things that they wanted to do, the prices that they had to pay. I mean, look, last year at the roster cutdown, I was screaming about, why do we need this older? Why do they need this older guy? Why do they need this older guy? Why not just play a kid, save money? But he didn't. Belichick decided to do those things. But I don't think it was anything out of the ordinary. It's just what changed is the Patriots got worse at drafting and didn't have those good young players to fill the middle of the roster. They had to go out and get them.
I mean, see, at the end of the day, it all comes back to the draft. Because if you were up against it financially, it's because you didn't draft well enough and bring along cheap players, like Greg just said.
They're not up against it financially.
It's a lie. I hate to be that blatant, but it's a misrepresentation of the truth. Call it whatever you want. I find it to be a grotesque untruth, Greg.
And so the more I thought about it, too, and Greg, you tell me, is this just Bill taking a shot at ownership because there's dead cap money there because of Brady?
Possibly. A little bit. But, Bill is as complicit in this as anybody. I mean, look, we've been over it before. After the Atlanta Super Bowl, we all thought he was going to get a contract extension. Once they traded Jimmy Garoppolo, Brady was still asking behind the scenes, well, where's my extension? Where's the loyalty? Where's the respect? And Brady was told, shut up. Your loyalty's in San Francisco. But Brady wanted the contract. He wanted that also. And Belichick decided not to give it to him, even though he had earned it. And B, it certainly looked like he wasn't going anywhere anytime soon. And so Belichick's just as complicit in this as Kraft is.
Okay. Of course he is. Of course he is. But I do think it is. And I definitely think there is an ownership component in there. Where he's talking, we just didn't have the money. And this was his quote yesterday to Glenn and the guys where from the stories, I don't know if he mentioned the cap. He mentioned money, which at least is closer to the bone. We didn't have the money, meaning as an organization, you decided that you weren't going to spend money this year. which is fine. At least you're giving it to me straight. The cap thing is just complete garbage. And you know how I feel about that, Greg. And I know we kind of disagree on that, but, you know, we'll just agree to disagree. But to me, it's more about the money than it is about the cap. And last year, they wasted a lot of money, whether it's Michael Bennett or Mohamed Sanu or Antonio Brown. That's a lot of money. Right?
Sure it is, yeah.
Money, real money, that they just peed out the door. And now, so what they're doing is they wasted money last year. So what do you do the next year? You save up and you balance your books. Real books, not fake books, not cap books, real books. And so that's what's going on. And that's what goes on usually in the NFL and mostly in sports. And it coincides with them having to reset the roster because it's been old and they've been on a run. And so you reset the roster and you clean up your books and that's fine. I just don't like the bull crap. I just can't buy the bull crap. Now you don't have the cap room? That is such a lie. It's not even funny.
Oh, God, please. Again, I look at it and say, can we stop with the nonsense? Really, can we just stop? Like, why can't you just admit that, you know what, we mishandled some things here. And I know that I don't expect them to even use those terms. But say nothing, like you usually do. Don't give me this. I mean, I look at it and say, the only way I can look at them and say that they, you know, that they extended themselves a little bit or that they, quote unquote, loaded up. Antonio Brown, the contract was out of character. They don't typically lay out that kind of money for that kind of guy. And then to give up a second for Sanu was high. So if you want to say that in the final year, last year, the final year of Brady, that Bell looked at it at a couple spots and said, I'm going to roll the dice here a little bit more than I normally would. Fine.
And I put Bennett on that list, too, because he got real money.
Fine.
And Sanu was making real money. He was making prorated $8 million or whatever.
But what about all the years before that? I mean, in the 2 years before that, the Patriots are in the middle of the pack. And I'm just throwing the cap number out there because it's easy. But the point is they were in the middle of the pack.
They're at the bottom, Mass. They're at the bottom. In terms of, I'm getting it right now.
Cash spending.
In terms of cash spending, they're at the bottom. They're at the bottom of the league in cash spending this year and over the last five. So it's like people, you can make the cap look whatever you want. Like most teams spend more and have their cap number be less so they can spend more on players. Or if you want to make it look like you're spending a lot, you can do the reverse. The Pats do the reverse. They spend less real money, but make it look like they're spending more because the cap numbers are higher. You can play with it however you want. And that's what they've done. The last 5 years, they've been at the bottom of the league in real, actual money spent. But their cap numbers are higher because that's the way they manage it. It makes it look like they're spending more. The money's an issue only because they're making it an issue. They have all the money in the world to spend. They always have. And it's a lie on one front, but the excuse making, Greg, is so unsavory. It's like, why do you guys come to that so quickly? The excuse making.
Oh, because it's because of what Brady's doing down in Tampa. And look, I think I made a joke to you guys. I said, all of a sudden, covering the Patriots is like covering, you know, the Dolphins like I did back in the day, or like the Cowboys with Jerry Jones on radio. I mean, not all of a sudden now I have to track where Belichick's talking and what he's saying. Like, you know, it's because they're losing. Because for 20 years, Belichick could just sit there and say nothing and just say, read the scoreboard. And just, he rested on the scoreboard. And that was great. And the fans ate it up and all that. And now that they're losing, he can't do that. So now he's got to talk. And instead of saying the full truth, instead of the half truth, that's what we're left with.
And the full truth is, again?
That he's completely mismanaged the personnel in the last 5 or 6 years.
He has. He's botched it. I mean, it all goes back to the draft in any sport. It's really not that complicated. If you draft poorly, you're going to pay the piper sooner or later. Because it's the only way you can control your personnel costs. You got to draft players, and they have to be able to play so you can control their salaries for a few years. Otherwise, you're porked.
I mean, this is what some of us who tell the truth on the Patriots and just don't tell you how great they are have been telling you for years, and fans didn't want to hear it because they're just like, oh, well, we won. We won the Super Bowl. Like, no, but the Bills come due at some point in time if you do not draft well enough, and that's what's happened here. I mean, in 2018, the Patriots had to restructure Stephon Gilmore's contract just to reach their cap obligations by the end of the season. This was 2 years ago. The cap was a problem. It's not just this year.
Okay. the cap's not a problem. But that's a side story. That's
Will you stop already?
The cap's not an issue. It's not. It's just it's a lie on either side. It's ownership excuse, and now it's become a Belichick excuse, if you can believe it. But money's real. You know, and business is business. This is a business. So they spent a lot last year. This year, they're going to balance the books at a time when they're making less because revenues are down. It's every business on the planet's doing it. So, never mind that the Patriots are usually frugal to begin with. So that's the story. But they've had more than enough to win, and Bill's made it work in the past, and he had all the time in the world to either reset his roster or at least reset the quarterback position, and he failed on both. And so now you're 2-5 staring at what? Staring at what? All right, so trade deadline, more fallout from the Bill Belichick Excuse Tour 2020 at 617-779-0985 to you right after this.
So you're a business that's thriving, but then, don't just bounce back. Bounce forward with serious and reliable gig speed internet. But is it secure? Sure, it's secure.
So how do I do this?
We do this together. Bounce forward with Comcast Business.
It's not complaining.
Oh, you're the mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Our cap situation in this particular year, this is kind of the year that we've taken to, I would say, adjust our cap from the spending and that we've had, in accumulation of prior years, that we just haven't been able to have the kind of depth on our roster that we've had in some other years, and that provided more opportunity for younger players. So it's a combination of all the reasons.
What a joke. That's with him with Charlie over the weekend. The cap. That is laughable. At least it was a little closer, just the quote that I read from down the street. You know, this year we had less to work with. It's not an excuse. It's just a fact. It's obvious that we didn't have any money. It's nobody's fault. That's what we did the last 5 years. We sold out. We won 3 Super Bowls, blah, blah, blah. And then he reads his resume. You know, because he's so insecure, he's got to remind you about the Super Bowls that he won. He can't handle just 5 minutes of adversity being 2-5, a little bit of pushback, a little bit of criticism. He's so insecure, he's got to read off his Super Bowl wins, which is what he then goes and does. It's obvious that we didn't have any money. Okay, now that might be true. The owner might have said, we spent more last year. It was all wasted money. We're going to make less this year. We're not going anywhere anyway. It's a bridge year, so we're not spending anything. We're going to get our financial house in order. The real finances. That's possible. I believe that. I think that makes sense. And I don't even blame the Crafts or, in owner for doing that. I would like you to spend as much as you can spend, but, at least we're on planet Earth. Okay? I get it. Okay. Talk to me like an adult. The cap?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though. Even the money is still no excuse, and I'll tell you why. You franchise Joe Tooney.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. That's a real example of draft failures catching up to the Patriots. They drafted Antonio Garcia in the third round in 2017. I don't even think he's in the league anymore. They drafted
a bunch of crap.
Kajust in the third round and Froholt in the fourth round last year. Those guys can't even play at this point. They should have been able to replace Tooney easily. You let him walk. You have $15 million. You have years with cheap labor, and they failed. That's just one example.
And again, and I didn't even bring up Shaq Mason yet. You've got $25 million tied up at guard.
So now we're talking about where they deployed the money. I'm just talking about...
Yeah, but again, Tooney was a choice, Mike.
Yeah.
Tooney was a choice. They franchised him. So when they franchised him, they effectively spent $15 million on Tooney.
No, I understand. But at least they're actually really paying him. I'm talking about this lie that somehow they can't make any personnel moves because of the cap when they're not really spending any money. Again, did you read Mike Sando in the Athletic yesterday? Oh, he eviscerated the Patriots. It was great. He says the Patriots are interesting in this regard because they rank 32nd in cash spending since 2016. Let me read that to you again. 32nd. How many teams are there in the NFL, Mass?
32.
They dead last in the NFL in real cash spending since 2016.
Unbelievable.
They spent the least amount of real money since 2016.
yet they're claiming their cap is prohibiting them from doing anything this year? I mean, that's as laughable as it gets.
Of course, because, again, you want to say they spent no money during that period of time. They still won. And, like, this is why I think the whole thing is a complete, oh, talk about a deflection. Good God. Bill can't own up to the fact that the roster is deteriorated because he's drafted poorly. Fact.
He quotes a unnamed executive. It seems very un-Belichickian to say what he said. You are the coach and the GM. You have made all of these decisions unless there's a veiled message which could make you think about what they've spent. So the veiled message there is, well, Robert, we were too busy kissing the ass of the quarterback the last couple of years, so we had to push his money back. We had to give Antonio Brown all that money. We had to pay Sanu $3.5 million last year on that trade, never mind the second-round pick. So all the money that we, you know, have wasted when I had a cheap replacement ready to go and the roster all set. So, I mean, I absolutely believe that there's an undercurrent there.
Oh, no question. I mean, and Greg, I presume you think the same, that, and I think that Brady's part of it too. I think Bill resents, because the one thing I know, Greg, and you tell me if I'm wrong, when Bill Belichick blames himself first, it'll be the first day.
So again,
well, that's absolutely true. But I agree with you guys in spirit on this, and in terms of the cash spending and whatnot. I just think it's a fruitless argument, like in terms of the listeners and Patriots fans. Like, they're just, it's going to go over their heads. Like, I don't understand why you're not dealing with the real consequences of the roster instead of talking about this, you know, perceived whatever cash power struggle, like drama. Like, I just think it's a losing argument.
You're talking to me, or you're talking to Bill?
No, I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't understand your incessant need to make this argument when you could just say,
let me tell you,
personnel's been bad, and that's where it is. And they've had to keep what they've had to do, which they haven't done in the past, is they've had to restructure deals and kick the can down the road, which is the stuff that they've laughed at other teams about in the past. And now they've had to do it. Everybody just shook it off at the time. Oh, it's not a big deal, but it is. And it's compounded to the point where they are right now. And plus, the errors like Tooney and Brown and overpaying for veterans like Michael Bennett and having dead cap because of him, like, all that stuff is real. You're talking about, you know, fantasy land.
Yeah, no. I mean, I agree that's a bigger facet of it, and I do fixate on it, Greg. And there's two reasons why. One is because I just think the cap's a lie, and I just hate the BS. I'm not wired to just accept that BS excuse. But two, I think ownership should be on the table. There's only a couple things you can, you know, adequately or fairly sort of scrutinize pro sports ownership for. One is who they hire and fire, and two is what they spend. And so I think people spend too much time kissing the ass of the owners. And it's like, well, no, put them on the table too. You're allowed to look at what they spend, and that's fair. That's a fair analysis. Are you spending enough? And when you're blaming the cap, is it a fair thing? Or are you just trying to skirt responsibility and your responsibility? So I'm not afraid to do that. Maybe others are. I don't know. But I just think it's fair to put ownership on the table with that. We do that with everyone else. We do that with Jeremy Jacobs. We do that with John Henry when there's payroll issues and money issues. Are people afraid to do that with the Crafts? So that sort of bothers me.
Mike, I can just tell you that I put in a request for the Crafts a couple times this year, including in the past week, and I have yet to hear back.
So, like, I mean, and they're good owners. I'm not meaning here to rip them, but they deserve to be scrutinized like everybody else.
Yeah, no question.
That's all here. Let me just finish this from Sando. The point is, as it pertains to New England, the cap is not a great excuse for a team that hasn't been spending money for whatever reasons. One executive said the Patriots had spent about $800 million since 2016, roughly $100 million below the league average. So they're not spending the money, yet they're making their cap look like they can't do anything. That's fantasy land, Greg, and I think fans should know it. That's all, and I just think that's legit. I don't think I do obsess over it, because I've been in the trenches of that argument for a long time, and it's come back up. So, yeah, I do go back there. All right, I'm sorry, to your calls, as promised. Here's Leo in Pennsylvania. Go, Leo.
Hey, guys, I want to run a quick scenario by you guys. If Bill Belichick had talked to Kraft last week and told him he was sticking around for only another 5 years, would you consider packaging him with Gilmore and trading him to a team that needs,
okay,
just say, a coach away?
Sure. Now we're talking. Let's trade Bill today. What do you want for him?
Oh, I want a ransom.
Three first rounders? Would you trade him today for three first rounders?
Yep. Hell yeah.
I wouldn't.
Hell yeah.
Three first rounders?
Yeah, with the way he's been drafting?
And then
I would.
It could be worse, you know.
Yeah, I would. Well, yeah, okay, but again.
Maybe the last couple of years couldn't really be worse.
But the point is, Mike, if they don't have the talent, there's only so much that he can do.
They're not trading Bill today. Please, let's not waste time on that.
No, but that's a discussion to be had at a later time.
Brian and Methuen. Go ahead, Brian.
Dallas.
Hey, guys. The last guy just brought up a subject that I was going to go to, but yeah, why not Bill to, like, San Diego,
pick up some picks,
and then say Stephon Gilmore, Cam Newton over to Dallas.
Okay, there we go. God. This is what we're
they
not doing.
They don't even
this.
Have a team anymore. They're in L.A.
We're not doing this. If you're going to call me that stupidity, please don't. You're right, Greg. My cash spending versus cap is probably wasted on that, since we're now packaging Bill and Joe Tooney and Cam and Stephon Gilmore for whatever.
So they spent $100 million less than they were last in the league in cash spending over a 5-year period and won 3 Super Bowls and went to a 4th.
And Bill claims they loaded up.
Huh. I wonder why they were able to do that. Why were they able to spend cheaply at so many spots and still win? Huh. You think it had anything to do with the quarterback?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay. Three up, three down. We'll get into this game. Greg actually saw signs of life from this team on Sunday in Buffalo. We'll get to that right after Murray's update. And meanwhile, how much longer do we have to go until this deadline?
90 minutes until the NFL trade deadline.
Oh, you better be kidding me. How come Belichick's not doing nothing? Come on!
A smart sports bettor knows where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap, America's marketplace, to buy and sell sportsbook tickets. PropSwap customers always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets.
Now, it's time for three up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on 3rd and 4. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
And the Patriots have won their 6th Super Bowl title.
Three down.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, three up, three down is brought to you by Massachusetts General Hospital. Mass General reminds you not to delay important preventative screenings or follow-up care during COVID-19. For more information on in-person and virtual appointments, visit massgeneral.org. 3 stars, 3 studs, 3 duds from Sunday in Buffalo. Who's the number one star, Greg?
Shaq Mason. Outside of his penalty, and it was big, it took yards off the board, yes. But I don't expect complete perfection out of my lineman. He had a great day. He was basically flawless outside of that. He was once the Patriots turned to more of a power run with Mason pulling, Johnson going through the hole, springing Harris, he was at the forefront of that and was responsible for a lot of those yards in the running game.
Boy, nobody loves a pulling lineman like Bedard, right?
Oh, my God. He'll pull it all day to that
seriously,
lineman.
As soon as the guy comes out of his spot and starts moving. I went with Jacoby Myers. I thought that all things considered, what a spot. No receivers. Guy barely plays. They put him out there. They targeted him 10 times. They completed 6 passes. And honestly, there were 2 others that got called back because of penalty. I mean, he was the only reliable pass catcher they had. I give him a lot of credit.
Number 2.
Jacoby Myers. He was great. He was competitive. He had a lot of tough catches. Like even that 2-point conversion was a tough catch to make. I love the kid. I love watching him. I love his heart and how he fights. And the Patriots need a lot more of that. But look, I've heard a lot of this about, like, well, why wasn't he playing? You have N'Keal Harry in a first-round pick. He had only played a half season coming in. He hasn't even played a full NFL season. You have to put him out there and see what he can do. And Edelman is Edelman. You're not taking him off the field. And Damier Bird's ahead of Myers as far as the coaches are concerned. So it took injuries for him to get on the field. I don't have a problem with that.
Damian Harris. He was my second. I just like the fact that he runs hard. He gets the ball and goes. That's it. And then, you know, and he still has enough elusiveness to make guys miss, and obviously did so on that touchdown run. I'd like to see them throw to him. They didn't target him in this game. It looked like he could catch the ball last preseason. I'd like to see that because I think they have a complete back there.
Third star.
Someone named Tashawn Bower. I don't exactly know who that guy is.
96.
Number 96.
He blows.
But he played... It's more of an indictment on how bad the Patriots are on the edge that he actually came in 19 snaps did better than anybody that normally plays out there. He had a half sack, 2.5 stuff runs, and 19 snaps. The guy played really well.
I went with the left side of the O-line. I thought both those guys were pretty good, Wynn and Tooney. It felt to me like when they ran that way, they had plenty of space. And I think it was because of those two. I thought they were good.
Okay, Duds, do it.
I did want to give one honorary up to Adrian Phillips because what they're putting him through is a bunch of bull crap, and the guy deserves hazard pay before he gets knocked out for the season because it's just unjust what they're making him do, and the guy has the heart of a lion, so I wanted to say that.
So I'd like to get
three
to...
down, Ryan Izzo. He was god-awful in this game.
Okay, so...
I mean, he was just...
Go ahead.
Go. Okay.
Just go.
He allowed a sack, knocked down two hurries, a stuffed run, dropped the ball... he had a couple nice catches, but not enough to offset all that stuff.
Okay. I want to get to Adrian Phillips in the run game in a second. And Ryan Izzo blows. That's his number one dud.
Juwan Bentley. Oh, my God. You're going to be the only linebacker on the team? You stink. I mean, that is what an indictment. You're the only linebacker on a team with no linebackers, and you stink. Wow. He's horrible.
Number two, Greg.
Juwan Bentley. Yeah, he's... I mean, look, I thought about not putting him on this list for similar reasons on why I mentioned Adrian Phillips, because I think these guys have been put in an impossible situation, and I'm not even sure Zach Thomas could play well at middle linebacker on this team right now. But, yeah, he had a rough one.
Okay.
Ryan Izzo. He was terrible. Even when he caught the ball. Do you remember catching me to the right? He kind of had to dive for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he got up and he's flopping all over the place. He's just a bad player. It's not his fault. He's not athletic. But, man, he is not good.
Greg, third.
All right, this one's going to pain me. So, Joe Tooney.
Oh.
Joe, look, I know Joe Tooney's hurt. His mobility has been affected, and he's not the same player. But he did give up four pressures and had a big hold. And, yeah, he had a rough go.
Devin McCourty. I mean, no sacred cows. I thought McCourty sucked in this game. Might be one of the worst games I've ever seen him play as a Patriot.
Okay.
He had spun around on that run play early, and then the penalty on offside. Like, those are sloppy mistakes.
Two game things. You actually saw some things that you liked out of the offense, Greg, and I feel like you're actually a little optimistic about something going forward. What?
Yeah, after the first drive of the second half, I thought the offense played really well. And I thought, look, now some of it was very scripted. Like Newton had I'm just looking for it real quick. He had that 22 yard pass to Demir Byrd early in the fourth quarter, I think. Newton faked to the flat and then threw a really nice anticipation ball over the linebackers to Byrd. It was really nice. That play was completely scripted. Like you could tell that Newton was told, fake to the flat, and then just throw it. I don't care if it's there. Trust the read. Get rid of it. Throw it. And they executed it. And that was probably his best pass since Seattle. I mean, it was really good. He also had another nice anticipation play throw to Demir Byrd on a comebacker where he threw before he was out of his break for 8 yards on 3rd and 8. There were a lot of those plays in the second half. And now there's an offshoot conversation to that, which is people are like, well, why didn't we see it in the first half? Josh McDaniels is too conservative. I don't think people comprehend where this offense was the previous 2 weeks when all they could scrap together was 6 field goals. For this team to finish with basically 2.5 scoring drives in the final 3 drives of this game was monumental progress. And I think they only have so many arrows in their quiver as far as the passing game and what they feel good about, because they're starting from zero and tried to build it back up. And I thought they waited as long as possible and then started going there. And that's something positive for them.
So I would say just, you know, from 10,000 feet, I mentioned this yesterday. If they don't fumble there at the end of the game, it's at least 24 points and maybe 28. Yep. And that's a representative, you know, at least decent, certainly not over the top, but on the road against a decent opponent, you get to 24, 28 points. That's what I would expect out of this offense. And that's
they should win that game.
And they should win that game, and that's where they're at if Newton doesn't put the ball on the ground. So, you know, just from the final results, the offense, quote-unquote, wasn't really the problem. Now, please, take that with a grain of salt. I know they have a lot of problems and a lot of holes and all of that, but you get to 24 or 28 points, that's what, you know, you'll take that. And they were right about there until, you know, Superman there put the ball on the ground. So that's one thing I wanted to get to. Now here's something I want to get to, which is the biggest concern, my biggest concern with the team and my biggest aggravation with the team. Okay, I want to get to that with Bedard, and that's the run defense right after this.
It's not complaining.
Oh, you had a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger, Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Bill, with the way the Bills were running it at times yesterday, why was it the best thing for your defense to for you guys to have as many defensive backs as you had on the field? It looked like you're in dime for a good portion of the game.
Yeah, well, they were in 10 and 11 personnel a good portion of the game too, so our personnel reflected theirs. We just got to coach and play better. I don't think that was I'm okay with that part of it. We just have to play better. Coach better.
So, this has become maybe my biggest issue with the team. Because, Greg, just to set it up a little bit, you know how I feel about running backs and the running game. You know, it's a passing league. I don't care about running backs. And I don't really care if you run the ball. It's nice, but not a real priority of mine. But you have to be able to stop the run. And I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to, like, just sort of do it on your own time. But just, you have to be able to do it. If you can't stop the run, it's just sort of a basic building block thing. And so you just have to be able to do it. And I don't want to talk, again, I don't want to spend any time on it or talk about it, but you have to. And if you can't do it, you're porked. And this is where I feel this Patriots team is. I mean, the way they played against San Francisco was a freaking joke. And they got absolutely pushed over again in Buffalo. And so the question there is, they were in nickel and dime, all these defensive backs on the field for most of the day. And as you mentioned, Adrian Phillips there playing as a middle linebacker, getting absolutely smoked by, you know, 320-pound offensive guards. And it's like, well, why didn't he throw linebackers out there? Why can't they stop the run? Why that personnel? Talk to me about this.
Well, it's a complete personnel failing. I mean, this is where they are. They are now the 2018 Chargers, who you laughed at when they came in here and tried to play you with one linebacker and you ran it down their throat and laughed all the way to the next round in the playoffs. That's who the Patriots are right now. They are a joke in terms of their personnel in the front seven.
Hey, Greg, I gotta break in.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We got a trade for the Patriots. They're adding, according to Adam Schefter, blue checkmark, ESPN, just tweeting a rare intra-division trade. Miami Dolphins are trading wide receiver Isaiah Ford to the New England Patriots.
Let me go to Google here. Anyone ever heard of this guy?
No.
Anyone?
No.
Not really.
Oh, boo. Don't add. Get out of here.
I love it.
What are they adding?
I love it.
Ugh.
I love it.
Ugh. Strip it down. Tank.
Still play. Let's play.
Ugh.
Let's try and win games.
You delusional fools.
Salvage the season. Isaiah Ford, 6'2", 194. He went to Virginia Tech.
He sucks. He's a nobody. He's another piece of crap wide receiver, adding to their core of piece of crap wide receivers.
Thank you.
Don't add. Strip down.
You know what?
Take it all off.
I'm sorry.
But Murray, don't get upset.
His Football Reference profile is a little bit different than what you just said, Murray. Go ahead, go.
No, I was going to say, don't get mad, Murray. This isn't a major acquisition. Like, I have a hard time calling this an ad. What did they give up for him?
No, we don't know yet.
So he was drafted in the seventh round.
No.
he was drafted in the seventh round 3 years ago.
Yeah, they're going to turn him into a quarterback.
Seventh round pick in 2017. Okay.
I can't even, he's barely played. He's never started. He's played only 16 games in his career over those 3 years. Does he have any catches this year? I can't even decipher this. Yes, he has 18 catches on 29. He had 23 catches last year.
Ooh.
23 catches last year, 18 catches this year. Okay, there's your trade so far. I'm happy. What, they have no receivers. What's wrong with this?
Yeah, the real Isaiah.
I just went and looked at his contract. He's going to be an RFA after this year. So at least he might have turn. Yeah, the brilliance of Bill Belichick.
He's a Ford, so you know he's fast.
Yeah, no, they just want a live body. They want someone to put out on the field because they're worried that Jacoby Myers is going to get killed.
You know what? I don't like your guy's tone. I'd rather have Martha. I'm not rooting for this guy. They have no receivers. Why would you complain about this?
I'm not complaining.
I'm fine. Whatever.
I'm not complaining. I think this is a nothing move.
I don't want help. I want them to tank.
But now you sound like one of these Bobos. Yeah, Bill will get something out of them.
No, I didn't say that.
So I'm not against the move. It's a nothing move.
No, based on Bill's track record, the guy absolutely blows.
Okay, he's dependable. By the way, he's accountable. He's got an opening. He needs some plays in critical situations, says Dolphins head coach Brian Flores a few weeks ago.
Okay, so all I'm saying is I don't want them to sell. I think they're toast. I have no faith in this team this year. But hopefully I'm wrong. I'm usually wrong. I still am holding out hope for a season. I want a season. So I don't want them to sell everything and just tank. I don't want that because I don't think it's going to do anything in the long run anyway. So anyway, the Patriots, if you've just joined us, have made a move, and we still have an hour and 2 minutes to go until the NFL trade deadline, but they've added a receiver, Isaiah Ford. He's really a bottom-of-the-roster kind of player from the Miami Dolphins. 6'2", 194, played sparingly the last couple of years for the Dolphins, but there he is. Put him on the board.
Here, he's your number one receiver.
Greg, now go back. Go ahead.
I was just going to say real quick, physically he profiles like Jacoby Myers. He's 6'2", 189, and runs in the 4.6s. That's what Jacoby Myers does.
I don't mind that. I like Jacoby Myers. I like those
kind
of
players. They must have loved what they saw out of Jacoby this weekend. We need more of that.
Well, it's one guy who knows how to run a route and catch a ball. I mean, let's just start there. Let's start with the building blocks. The guy knows how to run a route and catch the football, unlike the guy that you drafted in the first round a couple years ago, who wouldn't know a route or run one, if it hit him on the head. So let's just start with guys that run routes.
It's a pity trade by Brian Flores.
Seriously,
he just hung up the phone, and now he's cackling and high-fiving the rest of his coaches. Bah!
Look what it's become up there. Yeah, drive the Isaiah Ford, Bill. See at the bottom of the division with the Jets. High fives.
It's what you might call a mercy bang.
Pretty much, yeah. Sympathy bang.
Go back to this run defense, Greg. What are they doing? What's the problem?
They don't have the personnel. They've completely mismanaged it. I mean, they are not playing very well on the edges, and there's something there to be said about that. But they just don't have any linebackers. They don't have any personnel. They can't hold up. And here's the thing, and I think we've talked about this over the course of this season. The strength of your team is the secondary. Everything that the team, at least in planning for the season, wanted to do was to get to the secondary. That means bully ball, ground control, try to get a lead, play good run defense, make the quarterback, especially Josh Allen, who was waiting to give you the game on Sunday, if you gave him more opportunities. The Patriots have the worst, the 31st ranked first down and the 31st ranked second down defense in the league. They're actually pretty good on third down. They just can't get there because their personnel sucks.
So, Greg, but what Bill said, is it true that the Bills are 10 and 11 personnel, which is what? One back, no tight ends, or one back, one tight end, right?
Thank you.
Is that true that they were that most of the time, and that's what his personnel reflected?
Correct. Yes, they did do that the whole time. They were in 10 and 11 personnel almost the whole game. But here's the thing. You don't need to match. So 10 personnel is there is a running back on the field. There are four wide receivers.
Correct.
Okay. Even if you have nickel out there, you still have five defensive backs to cover four receivers. When they have one running back on the field, you still have five offensive linemen on the field, and you have four defensive linemen and no linebackers. They still have an advantage with big people. Like, nobody matches 10 personnel with seven defensive backs on the field, which is what the Patriots did. Like, that's why. So listen, perfect example was the Bills are driving to win the game. There's 9 minutes left in the game. They have the ball. It's 2nd and 7. They come out in 10 personnel. The Patriots answer with 7 defensive backs. They run for 8 yards. Like, how are you supposed to play defense like that? At least if you have a linebacker on the field, you have a chance to hold up against the 5 offensive linemen. With 7 defensive backs, you have no chance.
So when Bill says he's okay with that, that's another lie. I mean, so he's saying, well, hey, look, they were in a passing offense, so we brought on our passing defense. In layman's terms, that's what he's saying. And so I'm okay with the personnel out there. Meanwhile, they were getting trampled. So, like, the run defense thing is, like, it's so boring to talk about. I hate to even go there. But if you can't do that, you're absolutely porked.
Yeah, that's it. You're done.
Your path to victory in that game.
It's like having a bad offensive line. You're porked if it's that way.
Was to put the ball in Josh Allen's hands. Simple.
Yep.
In a windy day, even on a perfect day, let Josh Allen lose the game. That's one of your few chances. So you take away the run and put it in his hands.
They can't.
And if he beats you, he beats you. You tip your cap, okay? But you at least, Josh Allen wasn't pressured. He was game pressured. All he had to do was hand off after that stupid onside kick. It was 5 runs. They're in the end zone. And then they go down again, all just running down your throat. Like, that to me is so frustrating and demoralizing, Greg. I don't know where to begin with it.
Mike, that drive. So it's a tie game with 9 minutes left. The Bills have the ball. The Bills didn't get the third down. The Patriots didn't get them to third down until the final play of the drive, when the only reason the Patriots had a chance at the end of the game really was because Gabriel Davis dropped the ball in the end zone. I mean, it was there. He dropped it. I mean, they couldn't even get them to third down when all they needed was a stop, you know, and to win the game.
It's really the last 2 weeks. You want to put it in Garoppolo's hands. I know you guys do. I know, you know, you couldn't even get there. You couldn't even get the Niners in third down. If I go back to Denver, maybe I could see the same thing. Lindsey ran all over your ass. It's like, you're not playing Joe Montana and Roger Staubach. You're playing some good quarterbacks you should be able to take advantage of, and you can't even put them in that spot because you're getting run over. Like, that is so dysfunctional. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, again, it's a complete destruction of the roster. That's what it was, a reflection on the roster, too. The fact that Bill got it to this. Mike, they have no defensive linemen.
Ugh.
They had to play that 96 character, and whoever 91 and 92 are. Who are those guys?
Never mind, hey.
So now you have guys hurt because he has to play all the time the last 2 years because you don't have any defensive linemen and can't defend the run. Now, Bentley's hurt because he's your only linebacker, and you're asking him to play all over the place and go through, you know, 6'6" offensive linemen. And pretty soon, Adrian Phillips is going to keel over because you keep having him run into a cement wall on every play. I mean, it's ridiculous what Belichick is asking these guys to do because of his own personnel failings is ridiculous.
Okay. So
they might lose to the Jets.
I mean, that to me has gone to the top of the list.
They
right
could.
There.
No way. They're now built Ford tough.
Okay. So they've already made a move. They've already made a move, as Murray's referring to right there. What's his name again?
Isaiah Ford.
Okay. They've traded for a receiver. And we have how long to go until the trade deadline? Jimmy, no commercials, then back with your reaction. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, you made a freeze.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. That's my fault. Yes.
1 hour until the NFL trade deadline.
But you've got to tell me something. Tell me Bill's going to do